This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. A glamorous TV anchor has just been determined to be, quote, too insane to be tried for the murder, the stabbing death of her 81-year-old mom in bed. What? I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. I want to thank you for being with us. That's right, a glamorous former TV anchor accused of murdering her elderly mom, too insane to be tried. Angeline Mock, taken into custody in Wichita, Kansas, for allegedly stabbing her mom, Anita Avers, dead. The mom found in bed with multiple stab wounds. Okay, let's refresh our recollection as to what happened to the 81-year-old mom.
Angeline Mock, a familiar face in the Kansas City news scene, gained popularity as the morning show anchor for Fox 2. Her career was marked by her engaging presence and dedication to delivering the news, not knowing she would find herself back in the limelight for all the wrong reasons.
That deadly, that fatal bloodbath in the home bedroom leaves her mother, 80 years old, stabbed dead. What do we know?
There was a woman who came and approached our vehicle with blood, like her hands were filled, her body was filled with blood, asking to call 911.
7:40 a.m., Alyssa Castro and her boyfriend are in their car in Wichita when a neighbor waves them down. As the woman approaches, they see what appears to be blood, a lot of blood on the woman's hands. The woman asks to borrow a phone to call 911, then takes off with the phone back into a house.
I asked her if she was okay, and she was pretty shaken up, and she seemed scared, and she just ran off.
That from our friends at KAKE. Straight out to Melissa McCarty joining us, investigative reporter, host of The Killer Jeans podcast, and author of a brand new book, The Making of a Crime Reporter. Melissa, thank you for being with us. Now, who is the woman sitting in a car that observes Angeline, the morning TV anchor, running out of the home covered in blood? Who is she?
She was a neighbor in the car with her boyfriend, and she watched everything unfold, and she said she was traumatized by it. Imagine her just sitting there pulling into the neighborhood, and she sees this woman frantically running towards them, begging for help. So obviously they stop, and she's asking for a cell phone. The boyfriend hands over her cell phone, and she takes it, runs inside the house, and doesn't return.
The informant, the neighbor, refers to Angeline Mock as this woman, specifically this woman.
A lot of people are going to get face to face with a turkey this Thursday because it is Thanksgiving, and because so many people are going to be basting their turkey. We do like to talk about grease and where it should go. A lot of people don't know that all that grease, everybody on the block is cooking a turkey, and that grease can be very problematic.
That is from our friends at Fox 2 News, and that is Angeline Mock, who ran from the home covered in blood. Curious to Dan Murphy joining us, former NYPD detective sergeant on the Joint Terrorism Task Force and former chief security officer, co-host of a hit podcast, Gold Shields. Dan Murphy, you know, this woman, the TV anchor, is drenched in blood. When police finally get to the scene, they find something even worse. Her 80-year-old mother, apparently bedridden, is stabbed dead in her own bed. That's the mom on the left. The mom is Anita Avers. I think she actually turned 81 just before her stabbing death. So where do you even start with a scene like that, Dan?
So immediately upon response, you're going to want to give any medical aid you can. At this point, if the person is not clearly deceased, and even if they are, medical personnel have to come and attend to them, which is going to disturb the scene a bit, but it has to be done. Then you're going to want to preserve all the evidence you can. And I've been in bloodbaths, and you have to walk gingerly around them and wear those little booties, but it needs to be done because later on, the evidence is all going to speak through experts to a jury. So right now, you're preserving evidence.
Hey, Dan,
and preserving.
You know, a piece of evidence that is commonly fumbled through nobody's fault, And that's footprints. When you have a bloodbath like the one that happened at the home of this Fox News anchor, every blood marking matters. It could be sprayback. For instance, this is a stabbing death. The mother, an 81-year-old woman, is stabbed multiple times. Think Ted Bundy, right? And the clubbing, right? That's called throwback, where the victim is hit forcefully, and then the perpetrator swings back to strike again. That blood is cast off. Right? The cast off, if measured correctly, can determine maybe even the height of the defendant, maybe the position in which they were when the attack occurred. You can tell how many times, if you can't tell from the body, you can tell from the cast off how many times the person was stabbed, because every time there's a swing back, it hits in a slightly different spot on the wall or the ceiling. And speaking of ceilings, significant. Explain why ceilings are important in a case like this, that they be processed just like all the other blood evidence.
Because blood evidence is airborne once it becomes part of cast-off, and it will leave an impression upon the ceiling in most buildings, especially a residential building like this. That evidence is going to be important because blood spatter pattern analysis will be done by crime scene personnel who understand serology and who understand the science of blood and how it moves and how it forms and what formations look like when it's cast off of a knife. So that preservation of evidence is vital. And you would want to take pieces of that ceiling with you as evidence.
What do you mean take pieces of the ceiling with you as evidence?
I've seen ceiling pieces cut out by crime scene units, pieces of flooring cut out, depending upon the nature of the crime. Now, this we have, it became a homicide. You're going to take that evidence seriously. You're going to take pictures of it, but also you may want to take the actual physical piece itself. If it's a simple piece of wallboard that you can cut out, you may want to take it. It's something that may be challenged by defense. You may want to have it as evidentiary a piece of evidence with you in case it's challenged. But those pieces of evidence are going to tell a story. And in thorough investigations, I've seen pieces of buildings brought out and taken into custody.
You know, we got started on this discussion talking about floor evidence and how often evidence is lost or ruined really through no one's fault when they come onto the scene. You know, everybody's shoes have to be taken, and there has to be a print made of them to compare to bloody shoe prints, if there are any, on the floor. The only people that should go into that room are the ones who are burdened with trying to save a life. That's it. And then if they can't save the 81-year-old mom's life, they have to very gingerly back out and get the hay out of there so the work can begin. But when you're trying to save somebody's life, that's your paramount concern. You're not worried about bloody footprints. Okay, let's go back to what happened. This is it, and this is a whole nother can of worms, Dan Murphy. This happened around 7 a.m., 7 a.m., which statistically is very rare for a bloodbath, a deadly bloodbath, to go down before breakfast. Okay, listen.
911 is called and relays a message to first responders. A woman says there has been a stabbing in her home.
This morning at 0751 hours, officers responded to a stabbing call in the 1500 block of East Crowley. When officers arrived on scene, they were met in the street with a 48-year-old white female who had suffered from some cuts to her hand.
Joining me is veteran trial lawyer Jim Elliott, attorney with Butler Snow, legal counsel for multiple municipalities and governmental entities at butlersnow.com. Jim, thank you for being with us. Jim Elliott, you've tried a lot of cases in court. Blood evidence is very tricky, especially if you don't know what you're doing. But one thing I would be looking at is the degree to which the blood had coagulated at the time when EMTs and first responders get there. And it's really difficult, Jim. You've been on a lot of scenes. They're trying to save the 81-year-old mom's life. They're not thinking, has the blood coagulated? They're trying to resuscitate her and get her airlifted to the hospital. Where I would come in as a prosecutor, it's critical that we know whether the blood had dried, not just coagulated. Coagulated means it's kind of like jello. It's not thin, liquefied like water anymore. It's more of a jello consistency. That's coagulated. And the harder it gets, the closer it gets to being dried. In your experience, Jim Elliott, why is it so important that we know whether the blood was still liquid, as in water, semi-coagulated, as in jello, or flat out dried?
Well, certainly that goes to what time the crime actually occurred or the stabbing occurred. And probably in that case, you're only going to have the eyewitness testimony of the first responders who can indicate what they saw, perhaps without a great deal of expertise in that regard.
Oh, yeah, they'll be torn to shreds on cross-exam. Got to have more than that. We have to have the cops in there immediately processing the scene. But the reality is, Jim Elliott, it takes a beat for the entire CSI to arrive, and you could lose that critical evidence. Why is it critical? I need to know when this 81-year-old mother was stabbed multiple times in her bed. You know another thing, Elliott? I noticed this when prosecuting in inner city Atlanta. When the victim is very young, like an infant, or very old, for some reason, those cases are very often pled down to like manslaughter of some degree. You got voluntary, you got involuntary. I don't know why, but have you noticed that phenomenon? It used to burn me up. Like somehow, because the victim is really young and hadn't lived yet as an infant, or really old, they don't matter anymore. Did you notice that? I'd love to see a statistic on that.
Yeah, well, that certainly can be the case, and I guess that's kind of driven by the value of the life at the time of the passing. You know, you
put
indicated that he was bedridden. That's not been in all the coverage of the event, and
what?
Her pictures seem to indicate
she's
pretty healthy.
Blowing off. Commercial break. The value of the life. You know what? You sound a lot like a civil lawyer right now, where you try to get a money verdict from a jury and you ask the jury to put a dollar value on somebody's life. So what? If they're old, Jim Elliott, they're just not worth as much? Go ahead, put it out there.
It's the usual measure of damages, Nancy, whether it's morally right or fits everyone's code of ethics or not, that's the way our system works. With regard to that measurement, that's what I'm talking about.
Well, maybe for you, Jim Elliott, and you've won a lot of cases with civil juries, and now I see why, because you actually said that like it's true. Just because it is done, Elliott, does not mean it should be done. That doesn't mean it's okay just because it happens. A dollar value on a life. That premise right there is concerning to me. But that said, Jim Elliott, I want you to tell me the truth. Isn't it true that when the victim is an infant and you don't have a whole lot of cute Christmas pictures and, you know, baptizing pictures and family pictures at Disney, all that, and a really old victim, I am telling you, it's anecdotal, not a statistic, that those plea deals are cheaper than they are for just to say a young, vibrant man or woman. Have you noticed that? Be honest.
Yeah, I think it can be. I think with regard to the younger people, you can't really paint a picture of their life for the jury. That's what prosecutors would probably worry about with regard to an older person. Again, there's going to be this attitude that they live their life and you know, sadly, is it a
that may be the attitude, Elliott, but don't bring it to crime stories. Save it for your civil juries. Okay, I'm going to let Elliott sit there and think about what he just said and move this case forward. Listen,
Arriving at the home at 7:52 a.m., Wichita police find a woman outside the home with cuts on her hands and blood on her clothing. Inside, they find 81-year-old Anita Avers unresponsive in her bed with multiple stab wounds. Both women are taken to the hospital.
Officers went inside the residence, found an 81-year-old elderly female suffering from multiple stab wounds. Both were transported to local hospitals.
Back out to Melissa McCarty joining us, investigative reporter, host of the Killer Jeans podcast, which is awesome. Melissa McCarty and author of The Making of a Crime Reporter. Melissa, what can you tell me about the victim's stabs? What have you learned?
Anita Avers had multiple stab wounds to her, as far as was an upper body, her face, the specific areas. Police haven't released that just yet, but she was attacked reportedly in her bed with multiple stab wounds.
I want to talk about what Melissa McCarty just said. Karen Stark joining me, a forensic psychologist, renowned TV radio trauma expert, consultant at KarenStark.com. If you're looking for her, it's Karen with a C. Karen, I want to talk to you about something that it shocked me to the core. And you know, Karen, you and I bonded together in very, very long hours in the dark at Court TV Studios, where you and I would sit there. I believe they were 3 or 4 hour shifts we had, watching trials live and commenting on them whenever there would be a break. Even after all that, after all the cases I've tried, after all the cases you have worked on, I was so shocked with the Brian Koberger attacks. In that, well, many things, but the stabbing to the face of Kelly Gonsalves and Maddie. I believe Kelly Gonsalves was stabbed multiple times, but in her face alone, there were over 20 stab wounds. Now, I'm just a trial lawyer. You're the shrink. But when a victim is stabbed repeatedly in the face, there has got to be a psychological motivation there. I don't know what it is, but I bet you do.
That's rage, Nancy. And that's very symbolic because he's trying to wipe out her face. He's angry, even though he had no contact with her. This is a guy who just couldn't control himself when it came to her. He was obsessed. And so you are wiping out the person. In some instances, a killer will put a cover over somebody's face, a pillow, something to hide them. They just don't want to see, and they want to obliterate that person. She was beautiful, and that really disturbed him. Like, let me get rid of who she is and all her beauty because she doesn't want me.
You know, another thing, Karen Stark, you know, my mom, who's going to be 94 in December,
I know,
lives with us. The act of stabbing a little old lady in her bed, either bedridden or asleep, that's a whole nother level of evil right there. Now, I know no one's life is more valuable than another person's life. I don't care if we're talking about a movie star, TV star like Matthew Perry, or we're talking about this 81-year-old ma. But to attack a completely defenseless person, that's a whole nother can of worms psychologically. What is that? It's like killing a mockingbird.
That's true. But we don't really know, Nancy, what was going on inside of that person's head.
Karen Stark, excuse me one moment. Did I just hear you say it matters what's going on inside that person's head? The stabber?
No.
The killer? I don't care what's going on in their head. Unless they're legally insane, doesn't matter. You know how many years it took me to figure that out? It was either 5 or 7 because I marked it. I would sit in court looking over at the defendant, always a violent felon, because everything else would get pled out, thinking, why? Why would they do this? Finally, I think it was year 5, I'm like, why am I asking why? It doesn't matter what's going on inside his head. I have a case to prove, and I'm going to prove it. So are you, as an 81-year-old bedridden woman in her bed, stabbed multiple times, potentially in the face, and you want me to figure out what's going on in the killer's mind? Did you say that?
No, I said we don't know what's going on. But what I was trying to say, Nancy, is that whoever this person was, they had tremendous, just like Kohlberger, rage. Rage to do so many stab wounds. Rage to boost somebody's face if that actually happened. Something was going on where they really did not want to make that person be recognizable. They were obsessed in this killing.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. Sedgwick County District Judge Jeff Goring rules Angeline Mock, the Glam TV reporter, the Glam TV anchor, was incompetent to stand trial after a psychologist report was given to the court. Now, difference. Incompetency to stand trial simply means you are not fit to help your defense lawyer with your defense. Insanity means you did not know right from wrong at the time of the incident. In this case, the stabbing of her own mother. As we go to air right now, Mock sent to Larned State Hospital for further evaluation and treatment. But if she gets rehabilitated with meds, she will be right back in the courtroom to stand trial for this brutal stabbing death of her own mother. Then she can tell the jury she was insane at the time she killed her own mother. Okay, what do we know? What happened inside that home?
With over a decade of experience as a broadcast journalist, Angie Mock was known for her hard-hitting reports on crime. Ironically, she now finds herself at the center of a murder case.
Joining us, Melissa McCarty, reporter and host of The Killer Jeans. Melissa, both women were transported to the hospital. Describe their two injuries because they are diametrically opposed.
Right. Anita Avers had multiple stab wounds, and when she was transported, she ended up dying at the hospital, was pronounced dead about 30 minutes later. Now, Angie Mock had some cuts on her hands, and she was treated as well.
And release, if I am not mistaken?
She was treated and released. That's right.
Very same day.
Very same day.
Can I see Melissa McCarty, please? Melissa McCarty, are you telling me that the 81-year-old mother was stabbed multiple times in the torso and possibly the face and dies, and the glamorous TV anchor had some cuts on her hands? Is that right?
That's right. That's right. She was also covered
okay.
in blood.
Covered in blood. Now, I find it very curious to Dave Mack joining us, Crime Stories investigative reporter. Very curious indeed. How did the morning TV news anchor survive the attack with a few cuts on her hands and her mother, bedridden, is the target of a maniacal killer and is stabbed dead? How does that happen?
You know, Nancy, that's the question that they're going to have to answer very quickly, because she was able to get out of the house and wave down help. Remember, Angie Mock actually went out into the street, is waving down people for help, and gets a cell phone from somebody she doesn't even know, just gets it and runs back into the house. So she's still got plenty of energy. She's still able to get up and go and ask for help. And yet her mother is there in the bed, having been massacred. So don't know what exactly transpired, except she had plenty of energy to go out and get help for herself.
Dave Mack, do you know what you just did to me? When you're talking about her mother, I felt like I swallowed a lump of coal, like something stuck in my throat. I just want to jump up and run to get to my mom and check on her. Okay, well, You just brought up something really interesting that I hadn't thought of. Not just that she survived the maniacal killer with a few cuts on her hands, but somehow was drenched in blood. Isn't that right, Melissa? That's a yes, no. She's drenched in blood all over the front of her, right?
Correct.
Dave Mack, back to you. So she's drenched in blood from what? The cuts on her hands? But you brought up that she's still in excellent condition. No blow to the head. No gash, no wound to her, the back of her head. She is alert. She's not screaming, get the guy. Somebody broke in her house. Which reminds me, was there any sign of forced entry, Dave Mack, at all?
None whatsoever that we've been told about at this point, Nancy. And like you said, she's got plenty of time and energy to go around and go outside the house and seek help. So she's able to have her thoughts. She's not freaking out in that she cannot put a thought together here. She's able to go outside and get help. And, you know, she didn't seem to, other than the blood on her hands, doesn't seem to be impacted whatsoever.
You know, that's also curious. You said she's not freaked out, but she did run out of the house to borrow a stranger, it was a neighbor, but they didn't really know each other's phone, grabbed the neighbor's phone, and then ran back into the home with it. I wonder why she didn't use a phone in the home or her own cell phone. I mean, I'm just trying to think this through, Dave. If I found someone injured in our home, I would not run out in the street to try to borrow somebody's phone that may or may not be out there. I would use the home phone, if they have one, or my cell phone. That's odd, isn't it? Don't you find that odd?
I found it odd that she ran outside the house because her mother is there in the bed. And as mentioned, she's got multiple stab wounds, but she doesn't have the wherewithal to get a phone in the house. I mean, come on, you've probably got, in that home, you've probably still got a phone on the wall, not to mention several cell phones from the adults that are there in the home. But instead of any of that, she goes outside. And all I'm thinking of, maybe she was outside, afraid that the killer inside. I don't know, Nancy. It makes no sense. You wouldn't leave your mother in bed.
Outside, afraid of the killer still in the house. I like that, Dave. You've got a future of fiction. Listen.
The 81-year-old Anita Avers found unresponsive in her bed with multiple stab wounds, transported to the hospital, as is her daughter, Angie Mock, the woman who approached police in the street when they arrived. Mock, a former television news anchor reporter, is treated and released from the hospital.
Happy Facebook Friday to everyone, and welcome Angie Mock.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here, and I look forward to connecting with you guys out there in St. Louis.
From Fox 2.
The former news anchor was living with her 80-year-old mother in their Wichita home. On Halloween night, the spotlight shifted dramatically onto Mock as events took a dark turn.
A dark turn? Again, that's certainly putting perfume on the pig, a dark turn. It sounds like a mystery novel. This is no mystery novel, and it's not a dark turn. It's murder, and it's the murder of a defenseless 81-year-old woman, apparently bedridden. You know, I just heard something. To Melissa McCarty, is it true that the glam morning TV anchor was living with her mother, what, in her mother's home? Whose home was that?
That's what it seems so. Police have not gone on the record to confirm it, but it seems as though they were living together.
Guys, what happened in that bedroom? How did Angelyn Mock end up unscathed? She was treated, what, Jim Elliott? They sprayed a little Bactine on her and went, goodbye. What? And the mother's dead? Stabbed multiple times? You don't have a problem with that? Because I do.
Well, so I think, you know, the difference is an 80 or 81-year-old woman versus someone 20 or 30 years younger. The younger person could arguably be more able to defend herself than was her mother.
Okay, so you're saying she could defend herself. Okay, I see where you're going with that. Dr. Priya Banerjee is with us. Dr. Priya, board-certified forensic pathologist and anatomic pathologist with Anchor Forensic Pathology Consulting. Let's just say she's seen a lot of dead bodies. Dr. Priya, What is the difference between a defensive stab wound and a stab wound you would get to your hands when you are the attacker? For instance, your hand sliding down the knife. Unless you're like Brian Koberger, who had a K-bar knife, which has a hilt. What is a hilt? It looks like a cross. There is a section that turns the blade, it bisects it, and if you're the stabber, your hand would stop at the hilt. Okay? So if there is a knife that does not have a hilt, how can you tell the difference between a wound sustained to the hand if you are the stabber versus a defensive wound?
Well, I think that can be challenging. You need to look at where it is. If you're putting your hands up this way on the back, that is obviously defensive. You're not going to in any way have the knife use the back of your hand to stab someone. Now, if it's on the palms and it's really deep, maybe you did have a grabbing motion where the knife slipped. Remember, repeated stabs make the knife bloody, which makes it slippery.
Earlier, you heard a veteran trial lawyer, Jim Elliott, describe why the morning TV news star could have escaped a deranged killer unscathed because she's 20 to 30 years younger than her 81-year-old mother. Typically, yes. The state does not have to prove motive, but I'd be very curious to find out who would want to kill an 81-year-old little old lady asleep in bed. The degree of physical acumen, the lack of aging symptoms, being very, very physically active. Yes, I could see that as an excuse. Let's take a look at Angela Mock.
Will Ferrell's biggest fan, Angie Mock.
Hey.
You're a big fan, right?
Oh, huge. Lambert Airport better get ready for me.
You're going to be there, right?
Yeah, I
may. Stalker. Stalker alert.
Angie Mock is a former TV anchor who spent several years waking up the St. Louis area anchoring the morning news on Fox 2. She spent years as a reporter and anchor working for Fox 25, Oklahoma City, KLKN, Nebraska, now NBC Montana, and others.
I love highlighting so many cool and interesting things that come to the St. Louis area.
How do we go about training like the professionals?
Watch them. Last curveball, we'll straighten it out.
That's from our friends at Fox 2 News, and we showed you that to explain that Jim Elliott is absolutely correct. She's in great physical shape. So, is that how she escapes the deranged killer and her mother does not? To Melissa McCarty joining us from Killer Jeans, was there a forced entry? Did first responders see anyone leaving the home, or did the neighbor who lent her cell phone to Mock, did she see anyone leaving the home or a car speeding away, anything like that?
There was no forced entry, and according to police, there were two people, Angie standing outside the home and her mom unresponsive inside the home. That's it.
Did she make a statement at all to Dave Mack joining us, investigative reporter, Crime Stories. What, if anything, did Angie Mock have to say?
Well, she hasn't made anything public that we're aware of, and only getting secondhand information about what may or may not have been said to the 911 dispatcher.
Well, you know what? I'm being very clear, Dave. What did she say?
She said that she did it in self-defense, that she was trying to save her own life, intimating that it was a fight with her mother, and she had to use the knife to protect herself.
Angela Mock, the morning TV news anchor, actually says she stabbed her mother in self-defense. I believe your eloquent words were, she did it in self-defense. What, it was a kill or be killed situation? Is that what you're saying, Dave Mack?
That is exactly what I am saying that she claims.
Oh, my stars, what a difference a night can make. Check out Angie Mock in that photo. Ouch, there's a side-by-side. I don't want to be part of that. Okay, hold on. Jim Elliott, you're the veteran trial lawyer. I guess this is one of the reasons you tell your clients, shut your pie hole. Is anybody going to believe that Angela Mock was defending herself against her bedridden mother in a kill or be killed situation? I mean, how do you even look at a judge?
She's going to have to explain that. And I mean, I guess they'll come up with some concept of, who knows, physical or mental abuse over her lifetime or something of that sort that she may attribute it to.
Okay. You know what, Jim Elliott? Now, again, you're just spinning it out. Put them out, please. Jim Elliott, you have children. I assume you read them the story of Rumpelstiltskin.
Yes, of course, yes.
Oh, okay, so you know where I'm going with this. Rumpelstiltskin took hay and he just spun it out into gold. And that's what you're doing right now. Now, do you, Jim Elliott, and again, you're a veteran trial lawyer. Your record shows you've won a lot of cases. You represent multiple state and local municipalities. You're actually somehow coming up with the theory that this anchor, can I see her, please? That the TV anchor who can ad lib, who can read script, who can do all sorts of on-air antics, that she endured a lifetime of either physical, mental, or emotional abuse. Did you just throw that out as a possibility, Jim Elliott?
It is a possibility, certainly, and we don't know exactly. I mean, all she said was to save myself. We don't know what that means. We don't know what that means physically, whether there were other issues at play in their relationship or in her life or in her mother's life. And I think that has to be fully explored before we can understand. But she's going to have to explain
that. Oh, my stars. I need a shrink.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Insane or explosively intoxicated? Now, I ask that question because according to a probable cause affidavit, Mock's stepfather, Barry, told police Mock had been laid off from her TV anchor job after, quote, an explosive situation involving alcohol. He also told police Mock was diagnosed with bipolar disorder. Now, that's later, according to sources, been revised to schizoaffective disorder. And as we have learned from the Nick Reiner case, voluntary use of drugs or alcohol is not a defense. And if it exacerbates, makes worse, a mental condition such as schizophrenia or bipolar, I don't know if a jury will excuse the behavior of the defendant if their own drinking or drugs made matters worse and then they committed a crime. That's a fun thing for the jury to figure out, but first let's review the facts as we know them. Karen Stark, how many times do your clients blame a mommy? You know, I've started a fund for my daughter and son for a shrink someday because I'm sure they're going to blame everything on me. Yes, mommy told me I was fill in the blank. My mommy made me fill in that blank. It's all mommy's fault. Did you hear Elliot? The woman is bedridden. She's 81 years old. I don't know, care what she told you when you were 5 years old to stand up straight and eat your vegetables. What? Did you hear that? Because that's where this is going.
It doesn't make any sense. It really, if you think about it, yes, mothers, fathers, they really affect their children growing up. And that's a fact, whatever is going on. But this is, we're talking now about an adult and a mother who is 80, 81. There is no reason for that to still be held over and something that's in her psyche. At this point, she's gone on with her life. And she should be doing really well and not be blaming anybody.
Put Karen up.
Because she's independent.
Karen, you keep talking about it in her mind. We don't even know if there is anything that the now dead mom did, the 81-year-old. For all I know, she was an incredible mom. You are actually buying into Jim Elliott's theory that maybe this woman was emotionally abused by her mom for years and years and years, so she just had to stab her dead.
Well, that's the whole point. It doesn't matter what their relationship was like. It really doesn't, Nancy, because at this stage in her life, she's a functioning, we assume, adult, and she should not be carrying any kind of feelings about her mother that's interfering or would make her. Who would do that? Stab their own mother? That hardly ever happens.
Police responded to a reported stabbing at Mock's residence. Angelin was found outside, claiming she acted in self-defense after stabbing her mother. Inside, officers discovered her mother in bed, suffering from multiple stab wounds.
Okay, this is a tactic that will likely be used by the state if this case goes forward. All of the clips that we're showing you, every word Angie Mock has uttered on air will be combed through and used, if possible, in court to show that she was in her right mind. I mean, well, this is why. There's got to be a mental defect defense because she blurted it out at the get-go. Listen.
I've already had to stab the mother to save herself. And the poly phrase is about 5 to 6 knives, and that poly phrase is currently with her mom. She's also injured as well, and other weapons in the home.
This was good, wasn't
it? Yeah, oh, it was wonderful. Awesome. Family was in town.
Good.
They're leaving today. I don't know where my tissues are. That's all right.
Family's in town. They're leaving today. That was from our friends at KAKE and Fox 2. I want to hear that one more time. What she said on the scene or to the 911 dispatch, and then her crying about her family leaving after the holiday. Let's just watch that one more time.
I've already had to stab the mother to save herself. And the poly phrase is about 5 to 6 knives, and that poly phrase is currently with her mom. She's also injured as well, and other weapons in the home.
This was good, wasn't it?
Yeah, oh, it was wonderful. Family was in town.
Good.
They're leaving today. I don't know where my tissues are. That's all right.
Yeah, they don't have those fancy soft ply tissues behind bars. Miss Mock. That's from KAKE and Fox 2. Okay, Dan Murphy, former NYPD detective sergeant and so much more, author of Workplace Safety, co-host Gold Shields podcast. It goes on and on and on. Thoughts?
There's so many thoughts about this. When she came out of the house and said what she said, allegedly, she's putting herself as the person responsible for it. The reasons for it can get figured out later. When you look at this situation, she's living with her mother for whatever reason, maybe as a caretaker, maybe a financial need.
Probably rent free. I'll just throw that in. Go ahead. Sorry. Oh, that's from our friends at Fox 2, everybody. I'm sorry, Dan. Go ahead.
It looks as though life has dealt her a very bad set of hand, bad hand, so to speak, set of cards. She does not look like the same person. Something is on a downslide. Maybe she blames the mother for things in her life, sees the mother as holding her back in many reasons. I would love to know the story, the true dynamic in the relationship, why she's living there, what caused this, has there been any other domestic calls there, what would lead her to this? Maybe it's narcissism. Maybe she sees
Dan
her
Murphy,
as being...
I'm sorry, but are you a mental health professional? Because I thought you were a former NYPD detective sergeant.
I am, which is equivalent to a master's in psychology
okay.
in many ways.
Dan, okay, you and I both know that motive mm-hmm. is not required. I don't care.
Understood.
I mean, my non-prosecutor side does care, but I'm talking mm-hmm. about the facts that we're going to put in front of a jury. I am asking you, you're the former NYPD, and I keep saying that because you have more cases than practically any other jurisdiction in the country that you have handled personally. Analyze the facts. We'll deal with her mental defect defense that she's, you know, really painted herself in a corner with because she came out with self-defense. So she's stuck
okay.
with it. That's not going away. She admitted she did it in self-defense.
Right.
Of course, I don't believe that. And I want to hear what you think about the facts, not your amateur opinion, as mine would be too. I'm not a shrink, about why she did it.
Yeah.
Why does somebody stab a bedridden 81-year-old woman? Don't care.
The bare facts then. Cops get to the scene. She lives in the home with the mother, she is covered in blood, which is indicative of somebody who has either embraced a dead body covered in blood or somebody who themselves was responsible for it, and the blood comes out, arterial spurts and things like that. Second, she's got defensive wounds potentially, or potentially from a hand sliding down a knife that's being in a frenzied attack being used to attack somebody. She makes a statement indicating she did it. There's no evidence of entry by anyone else into the residence. She's the only person responsible. She's taking responsibility. The mother is bedridden and couldn't possibly have posed a threat with a knife to her daughter. Bare facts. No other suspect.
Here's a look at her top stories. Several victims survive a hail of bullets in two separate shootings, but those shootings were at the exact same location.
A glamorous TV news anchor, Mock stands charged with first-degree murder for the fatal stabbing of her 81-year-old mother, Anita Avers.
From Fox 2. What more are we learning tonight? A glam TV anchor deemed insane or incompetent after stabbing her mother dead? We've also learned that during a card game about a week before the murder, Mock accused her family of hating her and stated that she hated them. Now, how does that play into now claiming insanity? Insane, incompetent, drunk, on drugs? Condition exacerbated? We don't know yet. But what I do know is that 81-year-old mom was stabbed multiple times in her own bed. We wait as justice unfolds. Nancy Grace signing off. Goodbye, friend.